I'm joined today by Shashank Shekhar, construction innovator, CEO of Mecobe, transforming the way India builds. Today, I'd like to talk with you about how you started your company Mecobe and your visions for how it can disrupt and change the old, tired industry of construction.
Thank you, Jared. It's my pleasure to be here with you. So I'll just briefly introduce myself and Mecobe. I'm a graduate in civil engineering, and also I was pursuing my PhD in 3D concrete printing itself. After we did our initial research on 3D printing materials, machinery, automation parts, then I, along with my few co-founders, Ankita and Rishabh, who were also studying there at IIT Gandhinagar, so we decided that this is something which is going to change the way construction is done. So we decided to take a leap ahead and start our venture, Mecobe. So in our initial phases, Mecobe, when we started this around 4 years back, 4.5 years back, so our original intent was that there are certain specific areas in construction where you have very difficult working environment. It's very, for example, Mecobe is primarily working in defense sector as on today. So for India, so there is a very tough geoclimatic condition for its border areas. So there, if you look at the bunkers, the shelters which are built there, and the way they have been built for more than 70 years as on today. So that was very challenging. Like, we have altitudes ranging from 20,000 feet, and we have desert areas with where you have temperature ranges exceeding 50 degrees Celsius. So these are some of the things which had been in the back of our mind, and we wanted to contribute in some ways where we can actually increase the quality of construction the way they are done. So we, when we started this thing, so at Mecobe, we had this thing in mind that with the given design freedom, with the new tech that we have with us, we should be able to solve problems instead of just developing a technology. So the whole intent of Mecobe is to actually solve problems using technology. So we have been focusing on products which are solving problems for the clients. And so far, our 4 year journey has been focused on this only. Like, we have been very, primarily we are working on a code development stage, code development basis only. Like, it's not like we are creating products and then selling them in the market. We are trying to listen to the customer client where they actually are facing some problems, and then trying to help with the technology that is available with us and with their guidance as well. So we are trying to leverage whatever 3D printing can offer in terms of design freedom, in terms of optimization of various panels, in terms of portability, in terms of relocatability. So these are some of the features that we are trying to focus on as we grow. And this has been, I would say, a rewarding journey so far. And because there are very few companies, I would say, which have been able to work at such extreme conditions where we have been fortunate to move. Like, we have, I would say, developed bunkers at like almost 18,000 feet height in India, where the temperature goes like below 40 degrees Celsius as well in negative. Wow. We have developed bunkers in like desert areas where you cannot move because of the sand dunes. So we have created products which can be taken at those locations, and then you can actually now construct in like 2 days, 3 days time. So that's something which we have been fortunate to actually work on jointly with defense.
Wow, well, there's a lot to unpack there. The materials, it sounds like, at such different, with such different parameters, you'd want different ingredients, but maybe we can get to that in a little bit. I like the way you described your company as working with software, working with your customers to get through some of the R&D phases, figuring out solutions to the problems. A lot of the companies sell their product as a kind of like the way Apple wants to sell an iPad, where you take it out of the box and press the buttons and download whatever apps you want. It's not that simple. And so some early customers of companies that aren't so transparent like you've just been end up struggling in the beginning when they realize it's not just press go, and there's actually skills they need to learn to be able to operate the equipment. How do you educate customers and hold their hand through that process?
Basically, And that is a very, I would say, critical thing and important thing, because from a customer's or a client's point of view, what they are looking for is a solution. So technology is one thing, and then they are actually trying to involve the technology to solve their problems. So primarily to take them through this journey is something where we have to definitely educate them, understand, make them understand like what can be done, what can be the scope of the work that we can do, what not. And then when we have a very clear picture, then we go into the final stages of how we are going to execute the things. For example, when we are working with defense or other clients, so first thing primarily is like we educate them about what are the possible options of building something with 3D printing technology. Like we have multiple modes of construction that can be possible. Like we as on today are working primarily on, I would say, as a prefab concrete printing mode. So we are not operating as an on-site construction method. We are primarily operating as a prefab construction method. So in that case, primarily from a building point of view, so there are certain aspects like you have foundation, then you have the walls, then you have the roofing, and then all the finishing, internal plumbing, electrification, other things. So in few of our projects, what we have been able to do is to incorporate footing, walls and slabs all as a 3D printed component. So that is one case, but there are certain disadvantages and certain advantages that we have for specific cases. And otherwise there are specific cases where we ask the clients to make either the footing and then we can do the walls, and then the roofing can be done as a conventional method. So it basically boils down to one thing, like how to optimize the cost for the client at the end, because we have to optimize cost, we have to optimize time, and we have to ensure that things are delivered in a fashion as we have kind of jointly discussed together with the client. So primarily there, if we are talking about educating the customer, so there are certain aspects that we have to educate them on, like what is the material that we are going to use, what would be the type of finish that they are going to have, what can be done, like if we are going to do the footing using 3D printing technology. So primarily as on today, normally what is done, you are just creating formwork basically. So if you are going to create footing, so primarily it would be kind of formwork, then you have to do the grouting on site, or this can be done as at our factory. So all these things have to be very transparent with the client, so that we try to educate them as much as possible. And they, in terms of wall system, so there are multiple ways. Either walls can be no load bearing, or the walls can be reinforced and as a load bearing component as well. So that and we can have a system or a structural system where the conventional RCC column or steel columns can be used as a load bearing member, and then the 3D printed walls can be used as a non-load bearing component, or we can have a combination as well. So there are multiple options. So for that, what we have a design team, which first of all educates the client, like what are the multiple options that we can work out the solution in consideration with the client. And then once we agree on to something like this is how they want to build, because there are multiple ways. Like let's say if the client is able to do footing in their domain or in their area by themselves rapidly, compared to if we do the footing in our factory. So that way we can further save on time. So that way we first define the scope of the work, and then we take on to various printing, I would say printing parts or printing components for the building. And then the rest of the things like the electrical, plumbing, all those things have to be accounted in our detailed designing. So once we do the shop drawing, we discuss with the clients like this is how it's going to be. We try to create the visualizations for them so that they can understand if there is something which needs to be modified or not. But yes, with 3D printing, there are certain advantages that we have, that we can do rapid, I would say, prototyping as well. Like if a client is willing to trying to know how the building would come up, so we can have a very good visualizations for that. We can have very good samples done as well at a smaller scale, so that client becomes more comfortable with the finish of the product, with the quality of the product that they are going to have.
Nice. I saw on your website you have a picture of a building with vertical lines, implying that it was tilted up, rotated 90 degrees. It has a lip at the bottom. Is that the footing?
Yeah, so we have done a few structures where what we have done is where we have T-shaped structures, so T-shaped panels. So the bottom of that panel, bottom of the T, so it's an inverted T. So what happens, the inverted T becomes the footing. So we just have to do the excavation. We have to do the soiling, strengthen the soil, and then you do the PCC, plain cement concrete, and then you can directly place the panels onto the PCC by having an adhesive layer between the PCC and the footing. And then that acts as your foundation. So that is also one way, but there are certain disadvantages in that, because then the structure becomes very heavy. So the cost can go up because the transportation is again becoming a challenge, but the speed of construction is very fast in that mode.
Interesting. And your printer is a robotic arm system, correct?
We have both. We have robotic arms system, we have gantry type system as well. So our first system was gantry type, then we moved on to robotic system. So we have both as on today.
And using both, which do you prefer in what circumstances?
So I would say prefer robotic arm for specific applications, like when we are printing some complex shapes where we have to do very intricate shapes where the turnings are too much. Also where we need higher speeds without affecting much of the quality. So their robotic systems are what we find are more suitable because they have less vibrations and they can move at a very higher speed as well. And when we need a very large structure, single structure, there where we need a bigger envelope, printing envelope. So there we generally go with the gantry type, and generally the structures which do not have much of the turnings, I would say primarily say where you do not have very sharp turns, much intricacies. So their gantry systems work quite good.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago did you and your team develop your first gantry system?
We developed our first system around in 2017. So that was basically a lab scale system. So that was primarily for research purpose. So in 2017, we started our research using that system, which we built at IIT Gandhinagar. And then we built our mid-scale 3D printing system in around 2020 when the COVID was there. So from 2017 to 20, it was primarily the research on materials, research on software, because when we look at the materials, so that is something which is very critical from, I would say, a sustainability point of view, because I'll give you an example of using high alumina cement. So like somewhere around in 1940 1950, so high alumina cement or alumina cement was becoming very famous. So the reason was that alumina cement is something which can attain like 30 MPa 35 MPa strength in a single day. So in that time it was becoming very famous because people were able to de-shutter the formwork within a day, and they were able to do the casting very fast, and they were actually turned around the whole formwork and shuttering very fast. But like alumina based concrete is something which is not stable, because like when it further hydrates, like after 2-3 years, 5 years down the line, when it further hydrates, it transforms into a more stable form, which actually is not of the exact shape or size as the first one which was there during the first hydration. So those structures started to fail like 5 years, 10 years down the line. So then what happened, people started to realize that alumina cement is something which cannot be used, and then all the buildings which were made using alumina cement were either discarded, destroyed, and now alumina cement is only used as a refractory cement. So that is one thing. So we have to be very thorough while developing a materials, because we can create materials which can strengthen very fast using certain things which can be added there, but it's not just about a year or something. It's something we are building for like 50 years, 100 years, or maybe more. So it's not just something which we are looking for a year or 2 years time frame. We have to look in decades, and we have to ensure that we learn from the mistakes that have been done in the past, and then we build onto things which are sustainable and durable.
Yeah, that's a very powerful analogy. And it's good now there are a lot of companies printing houses around the world, hopefully with different materials, so that we can learn from some of the lessons. In the beginning, there was concern, there were so few printed homes, the people who were printing them were very worried that someone may print one without going through the right engineering precautions, and if it collapsed or crumbled, it would be a negative impact on the perception of the whole industry. But now I think there's so many that it might be able to, if one were to have an issue, it maybe wouldn't be a big deal. But if every single project or a lot of them used a similar material that had some longevity issues, that could certainly be troubling.
True. Yeah, I definitely there are good scientists who have been working in this. So there has been a lot of research, a lot of R&D in 3D concrete printing domain since Dr. Bhairav Khoshnavish started this in 2014, way back then. So there have been quite good developments in this field. There have been a lot of new additives that have been considered new kind of materials. So yeah, things look pretty good. But yeah, we have to be very cautious while actually going ahead.
Yeah, I'm a little hesitant to announce this before it happens, but I'm actually supposed to have Barack on the podcast in a couple weeks.
great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see his, 2017 is a long time since you started, but he started like decades ago. It's he has a wild perspective.
True. I think they are actually now printing with actual concrete. They are printing with 20mm or 16mm aggregate. So that's something which is going to be, again, quite interesting to learn and see how that is going to be adopted in this.
That being said, there's a couple Miko buildings out there around the world. I don't know of any contour crafting printed buildings yet.
But definitely, if you look at Chinese bamboo tree that actually grows for 5 years below the ground, then one day you see that it's like just going up hundreds of feet, like in just few months. So definitely, there have been a lot of research which Dr. Bhairav has been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you first got to printing, I'm sure you quickly learned how important the mixing bump systems are.
True.
The printer is what gets all the clicks on the internet. I think people are much more fascinated by it, but it's much less complex. What kind of mixing system did you start with, and how has that evolved to today?
When we started in the research phase, so we had a very simple extruder which we developed ourselves. So it was a screw kind of a pumping system where we used to mix our material in a separate kind of a mixer, pan mixer, and then we used to pour the material to that hopper. So from there we learned how the things are done. Then we switched on to kind of a combination of a continuous mixer, and which was coupled with a kind of a progressive screw cavity pump. So that was the next stage that we went into, and now we are using a kind of a combined system which is generally provided by MTech. So that's presently we are using, so which is working quite good. So we also have few other pumps that we have actually been developing as well with us. So primarily it's because what we need is a continuous feeding system. So there are multiple kind of pumps which can be used. There is peristaltic pumps as well, which can be used if you want to do very fine printing. Because the good thing with peristaltic pump would be that the life of the hose or the life of the peristaltic pump is quite higher compared to these progressive cavity pumps. So that is something which we are also working on very rigorously. But right now what we have is kind of a screw pump, kind of a continuous mixer coupled with basically a rotor stator pump, progressive cavity pump, provided by MTech.
Interesting. Is that for the gantry system and the robotic arm?
For both.
And I know there's some challenges when you're printing a small footprint in terms of the layer time may only be a minute or 2 minutes, so the neck it needs to be able to support the next layer without slump a lot sooner. Does this lead to, do you use the same ingredients for the gantry system and the robotic arm system?
We have additives which we use for different layer times primarily. So they are generally we operate within a layer to layer time of 1 minute to 3.5 to 4 minutes. That's where what we operate primarily in, and there is a different additive range that we use when we are actually operating at 1 minute per layer versus 4 minute per layer. So that's how we generally operate. And in the pumping system also, so with the MTech pump that are available, so there is one more thing that is doable. You have different kinds of rotor stator assemblies available. So you can change the rotor stator type. It could have a lower pitch. So the lower pitch would give you lower output, or you could have a higher pitch. So higher pitch would give you a higher output. So that way also you can optimize which pump with the same kind of machine with different pumping systems, pumping assembly for the same machinery.
I don't know if you saw, but Perry just announced they have some sensor that's an attachment to get measurements of the material flowing through the hose. I imagine things like temperature, potentially pressure. Can you imagine something like that being particularly useful?
So those kind of sensors would definitely be helpful because when we are printing, let's say 12 months round the clock, so there are seasons where you have temperature like somewhere between 15 degrees Celsius in the winter in India and somewhere around 50 degrees Celsius during the summer. And then there are rainy seasons where the humidity is very high. So the way material behaves is actually very dependent on your weather condition. So it would behave differently at 15 degrees Celsius and a very low relative humidity. And it would behave very differently at a moderate temperature at very high relative humidity. Because the setting or the buildability depends on all those parameters. So it's good that if we put on sensors where we can measure what is the temperature, what is the relative humidity. So we can actually, I would say, modify the material in line with those things in place so that our buildability rise that we want can be altered as per the requirement or as per the climatic condition. Or another thing could be like if you want to change the speed or if you want to change the output rate, let's say instead of like 1 ton per hour, you want to have just 200 kg per hour. So again, there you have to kind of change or alter the buildability or how much additives do you want to add into the mix. So that way also these sensors would be helpful definitely to have in the system. But that is something which I think is challenging in sense because real-time adjustment of additives is not very much real-time. It would take certain time since the material flows through the pipe. So yes, in a single batch, it's quite difficult. Like if in a single batch print, you want to actually alter the chemical composition of the material in like each layer. So there would be challenges in actually ascertaining how the actual system would behave, how the actual 3D printed structure would behave. So that I think definitely has to be studied.
Is there a print you're working on right now?
Right now in the factory, yes, they are printing. I'm at the other office.
And is it are you allowed to say, or is it a military project, private?
Normally I am mostly dealing with the client side, so I have to travel a lot. So there is our team actually is taking care of all the production at our factory in Gujarat. So we are going to set up a few more across India as well. So three more factories are coming up shortly. Wow. So we are actually going to cater to various regions of India.
And is there a particular building project you're looking forward to?
Yeah, there are a few. Yes. So we have recently completed like few projects which are G+1 buildings as well. Like we recently completed one tower for Air Force, which actually is a runway controller hut. It's a watchtower at the Pune runway. We recently completed another G+1 building where like 64 men will be living. So 64 soldiers will be living in that barrack primarily, and that's built at an altitude of around 10,000 feet. So that we recently completed. Another G+1 building we are doing in Ahmedabad, which is a residential building for defense again. And then we are also doing one G+3 building also. So where what we are doing is the basically the mode is like we have conventional structure like which is RCC, and then we have the facade or wall panels using 3D printing tech.
I always assumed the G nomenclature was about how many different units it was. Like a G+3 would be a 3-unit apartment building, G+5, no. 5-unit. What does it mean?
No, actually G means it's a ground story building. G+1 means it's a ground story plus first floor.
Okay.
G+3 means ground story plus three more stories on top of it.
Now I understand. It's pretty simple. Sorry, where were you going?
So we actually have a lot of projects. So basically we have a lot of bunkers that we are building. So bunkers is something I might not be able to show here because it's being recorded, but offline I'll definitely show you how it's done. So basically, yes, bunkers is something where we have our expertise. So we have developed impact and blast resistant bunkers. So basically we have developed bunkers which can withstand like Rockets, like handheld rockets, can be withstood by our bunkers. Even the tank rounds can be withstood by the structures that we have built. So it's something where we have actually done extensive testing on ground at field as well. So which actually has given a lot of confidence to us that yes, we are developing structures which can withstand, I would say, the extreme impacts, extreme blasts that you can expect. So that's why we are very confident that yes, in the residential space, we are going to build very good structures. Yep.
So in the beginning, when you founded the company, was the intention to go for military projects, or that happened along the way?
Initially, the idea was to actually build bunkers, because what we had been seeing in India, like with the defense, what they had been actually using was just they used to put sand in the bags and then they would put it one on top of each other. And that's what the entire protection was that they were getting. So that was something which we always thought in mind that we need to change. And we were very fortunate that we got to meet a few generals from Indian Army, and they saw the tech and they were quite happy. And I would actually like to thank Indian Army for their proactiveness, primarily because it's if they would not have been that proactive, they would not have actually given us chances for trials and errors. Like we failed like 2 times before developing the bunkers that we are delivering today. So there had been 2 failures that we did, but they still had the faith in us, and then they supported us in that development journey. And that's the reason why we are now actually strengthening the borders of India.
Very nice. And so to build the first printer, how did you get the funding to do that?
So basically, we received a lot of grants from various government agencies. So like in India, there has been a great, motion, Startup India, which has been driven by Honorable PM Narendra Modi, where he has actually, I would say, he's a great visionary leader who has ensured that we need to be self-reliant. We have to be Atmanirbhar, as what we say. So there has been a great push to support young entrepreneurs, budding companies, through financial means and through whatever mentoring, networking support is needed. So in India, there is a great ecosystem now, which has been developed, where there are a lot of incubation centers, a lot of mentoring help is available, where you can actually access, you have access to great business leaders, you have access to funds as well. So through that, we got our initial grants through like Government of Gujarat, Department of Science and Technology, Ministry of Electronics. So through those funds, we actually were able to develop our printing system in a very short period of time. And then with those funds, we were able to then demonstrate that, yes, we can develop certain products which are being valued by the client, because it's at the end, it's about value creation. So whatever tech we have to create value, then only it will become a sustainable business. So with that thing in mind, when the value was delivered, so we actually were fortunate to have some venture capitalists also to support us in our journey. And now things are going quite good, and we are going to scale up shortly.
Yeah, India seems to be an ever-improving environment for startups and entrepreneurship. Has that been a new development over time? You mentioned Modi had an impact on the entrepreneurial spirit.
Definitely. That I would say has been a great, there has been a phenomenal shift in the mindset of the people, I would say, in the past, 5 to 7 years. Earlier, people were used to think of like, we should get a job which is secured. Now people have a different mindset. Now they actually are open to take risk in their early stages, because this is something where you have to also see that you have certain capabilities that you can, skillfully develop into some creating something good. And this risk-taking appetite, I think, has been created, environment has been created in Indian ecosystem primarily. And there has been a great push from government side, where they are supporting various entrepreneurs through financial means, through other means as well. So because it has to be a calculated risk, like you cannot put everything just to create something. So when there is a support from government, when there is support from other, stakeholders in the ecosystem, definitely the young people would be more encouraged to take risk and then create good things in the long run. Yeah, and there has been a quite a good impact in this sense in India. Like more than 100 unicorns were there in the last year itself. So that is wow. something which is now coming very, I would say, explicitly in the open market, open domain, that India has a good potential to develop very cutting edge technologies, which are market ready as well.
Yeah, definitely. And there's so many people there as they all become, I guess their work transforms to more technological things. It increases the output and the leverage that they get on their work. It should be a really cool thing to see in the coming years. So right now your primary client is the military, and you're not looking to necessarily sell everybody a printer. You're still working on some of the details, but what does your ideal customer look like at this stage?
Yeah, so we are not into that. We are not into business of selling printers as on today, primarily because what we felt is like, if we want to sell a printer, we have to kind of handhold them into developing certain things, because things don't end at stopping printer. So there are a lot of things that you have to go through when you are actually selling a new technology which is not there in the market as on today. Mm-hmm. But now things are changing in India. Now even government is actually recognizing that this is a tech which can be used for regular construction. So now even government is floating tenders to specifically build buildings using 3D printing technology. So there has been a shift in the mindset of the governments as well. But our business strategy primarily has been to deliver products which are 3D printed. So in that sense, what we are trying to focus on is to kind of cater to market or cater to the clients and solve their specific problems, which can better be done using this technology. So like basically what we are focusing on is products like bunkers are one products where we have ensured that we can deliver bunkers which are relocatable, which can be deployed on site in like 1 or 2 days. Earlier it used to take like 30-35 days to construct a bunker. Then we have shelters which can be deployed, like large shelters which can be constructed in like 10-15 days. So this way we are creating certain value added products which have certain advantage for the client, so that they have to focus more on to like how to what added features they want. So now what we have in mind is like client or customer has to come up with his requirement, like what needs to be there, and then we can come up with the solutions. Like, and those solutions are something which are scalable. Like if we have developed bunkers, this is something, so there will be more than 10,000 bunkers in India like per year. So if we talk about shelters, so shelters are something which are required in bulk. So this way what we are focusing on is to develop products which have a scalable size, and the client is there to help us into the development stage primarily. And we are not focusing primarily on to creating houses, because our ideology has been to actually solve problems. Because if you look at housing in general today, so there are like for people are also trying to do villas using this technology. So that has a separate market segment, because when an individual wants to have a house, so his intent is like his house should be unique, or it should be built in a certain time frame. So that's definitely is one thing. So that is something which can also be done by the conventional ones. Anyways, if you are going to build it using 3D printing tech, it's going to cost higher, at least in India as on today, because the labor is quite cheap in India compared to other countries. So there we actually are not adding value for the customer, because we are going to charge them higher because of the given constraints in India. And then ultimately they have options primarily. So where the clients have options, they can, so there we actually be just competing with conventional on, because the structure would look similar or somewhat like that. But we are trying to build some things where this tech has very unique selling point, where this product is something which is primarily solving the pain points of the customer. Because otherwise they are actually not having a proper solution for those things. So that way we are trying to focus on to developing some things using this tech, which is going to solve certain critical problems for the country, for the global level in the next few years as well. So that's primarily what we are looking for. And we are trying to create franchises now as well, so that we can have, because construction is a trillion-dollar market, and we cannot actually cater to all. So in that sense, what we are trying to do is, because selling a printer does not solve the problem, so we have to educate them, we have to train them, and also we have to ensure that we maintain our confidentiality as well in the process. So what we are looking is to actually set up franchises across nation at specific locations as well, so that we can actually educate them, we can have kind of knowledge transfer to them, and then handhold them if they are in any trouble. So that's how we are actually going to scale up in the coming months and years.
That sounds like a very wise plan to me, because the customer isn't just a regular customer, it's an extended relationship. So to be a franchise model and still maintain a strong connection to your franchisees, it gives them some reassurance that you'll continue supporting them.
Yeah. And with franchises, one good thing that we will have is that they also have their certain area of expertise. Like, let's say if there is a builder who is going to be a franchisee, then he has certain set of expertise with him available in terms of construction field. So we just have to ensure that we are giving him a specific technology which is useful for, let's say, 20%, 30% of the entire thing. Rest he will be able to do by himself. So that way we are trying to make an impact on where this technology is going to have the highest value addition.
You can measure by weight and say it's 80%.
Yeah,
but by realistically 20-30.
Fair enough. But by value, it would be lesser.
Yeah, the material usually is very expensive because of the high cement concentration, right?
I would say that has been one of our key differentiators in this segment. So if you look at India, so India is something which is a very cost sensitive market. So I have seen some like case studies where the price of the house, I think you can let me know better, like what is the current price of the house which is being 3D printed in UAE or USA or Europe?
Usually give as a rough estimate, it will be 40% more expensive than a traditional method in your region. So construction costs in California could be double what they cost a couple states over in Nevada. But 40% is a pretty good rough estimate from people that have completed projects reported back with kind of whisper numbers.
So like in California or Nevada, so let's say we want to build a 1,000 square meter house, or 1,000 square feet house, sorry. So what generally had been the cost, and what is the cost with 3D printed structures nowadays?
Maybe something like in Nevada, like 250 a square foot, California, like 350 or 400 a square foot.
So what, 350 a square foot dollars, okay.
So fine. 350K to build, and that's cheap. I don't think you can really build in California a 1,000 square foot house for 350K anymore.
So I would say that's so in India, so 350k I'll just convert it in rupees, so that's somewhere around 2.5 crores for one 1,000 square feet house. In India, for 1,000 square feet, generally the cost is somewhere around 35 lakhs, so that's almost 8 to 9 times higher in US. Mm-hmm. So if you look in terms of pricing, so the cement price, the steel price, so these are something which are global commodities. So the price of steel and cement is within the 10 to 15% range in US or in India. So, but still you can see the price at which the house is being sold in US is almost 8 to 9 times higher compared to India. So you can imagine what cost sensitivity that we have to cater to while actually working in India, because cement and steel is costing same. So primarily the difference is like labor, and in 3D printing anyways you are using very less labor, but still the prices are that high. So the price wise we have to be very cost competitive if we have to do projects in India. So because the margins have to be very cutthroat if you are going to compete with conventional. But yes, so what we have been able to do is like we have been able to develop materials which are quite, I would say, economical. Because if you look at the cost of the companies which are selling the 3D printed material right now, is somewhere between 20,000 rupees. So I'll just convert it into, give me a minute.
Usually like 350, 400, 600 a ton.
Correct.
Somewhere
correct,
in that range.
So 350 something, 400 rupees a ton is something, $300 per ton is something which at which they are selling. And we actually are producing the same material at a cost of somewhere around $50 to $55 per ton. So that wow. has been the reason. But still, they are using cement, we are also using cement. They are using sand, we are also using sand, and which are global commodities. So that has been the reason why we have been able to sustain in such a cost competitive environment like India.
Yeah, I guess you're not using 40% cement.
No.
A lot of groups are.
Yeah, true. Actually, using 40% cement won't be sustainable in long because it won't be complied as per any norms, I would say, because using such a high cement content would lead to shrinkage in the long term. So you won't see it today, but like 5 years down the line, you would start to see there will be shrinkage because cement is something which has a tendency to shrink as it further hydrates, and the hydration process is something which is a lifelong process for cement. And no code generally permits more than, I would say, 500 kg per cubic meter of cement. So which is almost like 20 to 25 maximum is the cement content that you can have in a general concrete. So 40, 45 is something which is on a very high side. And that is something which is of concern that people have to look into, because otherwise there would be issues which would be kind of leading to shrinkage or some other effects as well.
Interesting. So the groups that are printing with 40% cement might end up with serious shrinkage in a few years.
There can be, because that has been the reason. If you see any global codes for like concrete, so they definitely are actually, they are specifying a maximum cement content. It's not like there has to be a minimum cement content. Yes, that is there. But there is also a limit on what is the maximum cement content can be there. Because mm-hmm. that has been given serious consideration over the decades. Because if you use a lot of cement content, it's going to go shrink down the line. Because when cement and water adds up, the cement, the hydration product is something which has lesser volume. So that is something which is a lifelong process. So that needs to be considered definitely. And then second most important thing are the content of like alkali content, what is the alumina content, what is the sulfur content. So these, the maximum permissible limits have to be very critically seen, because generally those have after effects, because also the porosity. So if you have the higher porosity in your mix, like if the porosity of the printed concrete is like more than 7 to 8%, then it would have susceptibility for chloride attacks, sulfate attacks, and when there would be rain, so it can penetrate through the air voids or porosity of the concrete and then corrode the steel. So which again would come up like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the line. So these are some of the things which have, so all the codes have been designed in such a way that a due consideration, thorough consideration had been given to all these aspects, and then they have defined certain maximum limits, lower limits. So that is something which we also have to ensure that this is there in the printed concrete as well.
Yeah, I wonder if the 500 kilograms per meter rule applies to mortar in the same way it applies to concrete. I know a lot of the groups have used mortar instead.
Yeah, but mortars are normally not into the structural segment primarily. Mm. Yeah, they are primarily for the plastering or pointing, something like that. But here we are talking about things which have structural components made out of it.
So are you pouring the same material that you're printing with into the columns with rebar?
Generally we do, yeah.
Wow, and you extrude that from the printer?
Yes.
Interesting. That sounds very expensive, but I guess if your material is 55 a ton, you can use it all the same.
Yeah. So material is like fairly at the 10 to 15% cost of regular concrete in India.
I guess you probably, it's your IP, you don't want to give away the secrets, but is there any way you can allude to how it's so affordable so that it can be more believable?
I think you, the way we are doing projects in India at such competitive price, and you can, I'll show you after this video, like how these structures perform. I think then you can believe it. And we are actually able to provide those structures with kind of a sustainable financial condition as well for us.
I guess a better way to ask that question, if you sold a printer in the United States, how would you figure out, would you be able to ship the material, or would it be better to get it locally?
It would be better to get the material locally, because as I earlier said, cement, steel are something which are global commodities. So if I buy a cement in India or I buy cement in USA, so the price is within 10 to 15% range only. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's not much different. But still, like, if we are getting like 9 times the price compared to India, it's definitely is something which is very profitable for us to venture out in other countries. That we will do like later down the line once we have our good footprint established in India.
Yeah, the nice part about working with the government is that they can help you with permitting, which is a huge challenge. How have you been overcoming that?
So primarily what we are doing is, so for the 3D printed structures, so we have like designers with us. So what we do, we do a first thorough structural analysis of the printed structure. So we are actually moving into a hybrid kind of a model. So in the hybrid kind of model, what we are doing is, if we have to ensure that, so in hybrid, I'll talk about hybrid more. So basically what we do, all the structural components can be of conventional ones. So through conventional means, we are able to actually make columns, beams, slabs of the conventional type. And then all the non-load bearing components like the walls can be made of the 3D printed one. So that way there is no issue of having a structural stability. So those designs can easily be vetted. So those are actually within the code compliance as well. So that's how the 3D printing can be adopted without worrying about that aspect, because all the structural members are going to be the same. So that's what our hybrid approach has been, to take it to the mass level. And then comes the second part, like when we are going to develop the entire structure using this tech. So what we generally do is we first get all the structural design being vetted through the vetting agencies in India, like IITs, which are Indian Institute of Technologies, the professors of IITs, or the experts in the 3D printing technology who are working with IITs. So they are actually going for a thorough analysis of the designs that we have made. Once they approve the design, then we actually create our shop drawings for the printing. And that's how we are able to take it into the basically design consideration. And then we get a third party checking, third party vetting for the structural design. And then from the client side also, they have their engineers or designers to check things.
What makes them 3D printing experts? Have they printed more than you?
It's not about printing. So basically what we are doing is, if you look at the structural part, so when you have to do the structural design, you have to know the basic parameters of the concrete, be it printed concrete or regular concrete. So you have to provide them with all the details, compressive strength, flexural strength, its creep, shrinkage, all those parameters, if you are providing them for the perimeter part and the concrete which is used as a formwork, and then the concrete which is used as the infill. So, and also when we do the thorough testing, cube testing, core cutting testing, so all those data is supplied to them. And then based on that, they do the basically structural design analysis.
That's great. So the academics, they funded the research to get the data needed to figure out what makes a printed structure viable, They help you confirm that your buildings are strong.
Correct. And the good thing with defense is that they also have their in-house testing. So it's not like just we are going to, like, for example, for the bunker. So what we did with bunker, so we had this initial development where the IIT Gandhinagar was involved, designers from Indian Army were also involved, officers from Army were involved. And then once we built the structure, then we did the field trial. So it's not just we have did it in papers or in softwares. We have done field trials for see whether it's able to withstand those lateral loadings, those blast loading, impact loading. So we have done thorough trials on ground as well. And then based on that, we are then reverse calculating what needs to be optimized.
This is one of my favorite questions to ask, and hopefully people aren't getting tired of it. I ask it a lot, but what does your company need the most right now to grow?
What do the?
What does your company, Mikob, need the most right now to grow and reach your goals?
Okay. Very interesting question. So this is something which now what we are looking for is primarily partners, because what we have is expertise in 3D printing tech. So 3D printing is something which is in terms of volume of the project, if we are going to do, would be something like 30%, 35% of the entire project. But if we have to create buildings, if we have to create large structures, so there a lot of other things are also involved. And normally the clients who actually are driving the growth story of a company, so client wants a solution for the entire thing. So what we are at this stage have is a kind of a specific thing which is providing 3D printed walls or 3D printed footing or whatever the system is, but we have to provide a solution for in the entirety. So that's where we actually are now collaborating with other kind of specialists who have that expertise, so that they can be kind of the pillar who are supporting us in growth journey. And then they have good capital available with them, they have good engineering resources, they have good execution team available with them, because for us to scale up really fast, we need to have good men. So for any organization to grow, it's all about the men you have, it's all about the men and women that you have. So it's all about people at the end, their skill set, their intent, their passion. So that is something which is very difficult to find, and having all of them the same vision. So definitely having that kind of skill set, having that kind of human resource is something which is quite challenging if you want to scale up very fast. So that is where some partners who have that background are going to be something which are going to be very critical in our growth story, because then they can provide the support in the things which we lack in terms of execution, in terms of planning, in terms of doing very large projects. Because now the things are changing in India, like now government is also seeing that large structures can be done using this. So that way, now what we will be focusing more on is to build more of our 3D printing capacity, build more and invest more on our R&D, create more sustainable products, create more efficient printing systems. And then we will be partnering with some good construction companies who will take care of all the other things, which are like almost 70-75% for a building project.
Yeah, integrating with traditional construction is obviously a critical part of building any kind of real estate. Do you have anyone with construction experience on your team?
Yes, we have. I also myself have like almost 3.5 years of experience in construction. We nice. Have a team of somewhere around we have 14 engineers with us right now. Out of them, like six are from civil engineering background. We have a few project managers with us. We also have consultants who are there for design consultancy as well, for third party vetting as well. So this is how we are presently structured, and we are going to further scale up our human resources, because we need to invest a lot more into further ensuring that the material is going to be better, the systems are going to be more robust, and the project management that we do, because now we have actually gone into a commercial stage. We are not just R&D into R&D or pilot phase. We actually are executing commercial contracts. So things are now moving into that direction. So the structure, we are trying to bring more structure, more better culture into the organization, so that we are able to meet the expectation of the clients and our partners.
Mm-hmm. And so are you doing most of your building in Ahmedabad?
Right now, yes. As on today, most of the buildings are printed in Ahmedabad in our factory. But we are doing projects like as far as 2,300 kilometers away. So we have done few projects which are almost 2,400 kilometers away from our location.
On the border,
yes. Yeah. So, yes, we have been actually active across India. Like, we have worked in the north, in the northeast, western zone, also in the south. So, yeah, we have a wide, I would say, footprint now. But, yes, we will be actually now focusing more on setting up franchises so that the transportation cost becomes lower. Because in this field, to make it mainstream, At the end, it's all about cost effectiveness as well. Because for pilots, it's okay. But for providing a sustainable solution, it has to be cost effective. It cannot be very high in terms of cost what conventional construction is providing. Because ultimately, it does not solve any purpose. So that's something which we are looking into seriously.
Yeah, I like to be patient with the cost thing because technology always takes time to improve. And there's so many people like yourself that are working on improving it. And it seems to be making progress.
Yeah, I am very hopeful and we are very positive that this is something which is going to be there in a very large scale for sure in the coming years.
Yeah, especially with the workforce, like young people all want to be like Elon Musk and want to work with engineering and work with their minds. It's hard to get young people to hold a hammer. Is that the case in India as well?
I would say no. People are still okay with that kind of laborious jobs as well, if needed. So yeah, I think still that is something we have people who are ready to do the dirty job if required as well. But yeah, that is something where technology is helping. Technology is actually definitely helping the construction industry to move or shift from the way it was like few decades ago. So that is something where we definitely feel that this technology would change the mindset of the people. Like now women will be more involved in the construction domain as well, because they can be operators, they can actually do the designing of the printed structures, or a lot of scope are there. So now it's not just a gender specific kind of construction thing as well, because in our factory we have human women labor as well if needed. So that's something, yes, that would change with time.
Yeah, it's great because you don't need as much physical strength on the job site. You need intellectual strength operating the systems, and the builders in India, how do they learn to build? And I know decades ago, maybe longer, it was like if your family's a builder, you become a builder. If your family's a doctor, you become a doctor. And so I imagine it was like through their families, they would learn how to do the trade, or...
That family business kind of tradition definitely is there. But yeah, now like a lot of graduates are there in India who have done their graduation in like civil engineering. So they also are venturing their companies or ventures.
Oh yeah, but those aren't the guys with the bricks in their hands. The more the masons and the like on-site jobs, the labor jobs. Those are skills that need training.
True. So I think in India there are, yes, so skilled labor is something. So there are some training schools also in India where like certain skill sets are also taught. There are industrial training institutes where skill sets for like plumbing, electrical, fittings, mason. So those are taught as well. So it's not, I would say, something where only it's a if the father was doing this, the son would do, or the daughter would do the same. So
yeah, I mean, that mentality is old and outdated, right?
That is still there, not totally eliminated, but yeah. So the options are, opportunities are there, where people have option to learn and then choose a trade as well.
Yeah, that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. Anybody can. It doesn't matter if they were a janitor. If they have a brilliant idea to come up with a startup, they can build a startup and become a unicorn.
True.
The best part about it, the whole thing, freedom.
Yeah, it won't be much of a freedom if you are dealing with a lot of clients. Clients would sometimes just take up your freedom, yes. So yeah, that's I would say trade-off. It's not like just you have full freedom, because you have to ensure that the customer satisfaction is at your priority, because otherwise it's very tough also to I would say rise up the ladder in that segment.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. Any business, especially a new business where you're having to create things that haven't been done before. But it's exciting and it's fun to see all the progress.
Yeah, that's definitely something which is very fulfilling, I would say, because when you are thinking something in your mind and the first time that you see that it's done, it's created. So that's something which is very satisfying. Like I'll share my personal experience when we first built our bunker and then tested it, when the rocket launcher was just fired near me and I was able to see the, feel the, I would say the hit or the blast pressure of myself, and then when it hit the structure and still it survived. So that was a kind of a feeling that was quite amazing, and that has been, I would say this way it has been very rewarding for me and my team as well, because we have been able to interact with so many persons down the line. We have been able to interact with so many persons, learn from them, and then it has been, I would say, very rewarding in sense we have been given the opportunity to create. So that is something which we are able to get through this startup mode, because you have the power of creating something, and the ecosystem is enabling you as well. So that is something which is very fulfilling as well. But yeah,
it's so cool they let you watch that.
I won't say this is an easy job. So it's quite challenging, yes.
I think a lot of people get into it thinking that it's going to be, you press a button and the printer does all the work. Maybe it will one day.
Sorry?
Maybe it will get to that one day.
It should definitely, yeah. But still, there are a lot of things that we have to keep check on. But yes, with time, maybe there would be robots, AI robots, which will be taking care of like all the nuances, the small things that we have to look into detail, like if the pump is choking up or not, if the pump is heating up too much. So there, like AI could help, the robots, AI-based robots could help in the coming times. And if we are working in very extreme climatic conditions, geoclimatic conditions, again, there those AI robots actually can help in doing or working in those extreme environments as well.
If it was, if you solved concrete printing, what would you want to automate next?
Now, what we are looking into is primarily the metal printing part also, and see how we can integrate metal and concrete printing all together. So that is something which we are working also, because that is something which would be quite interesting what we feel, but that is a very difficult job, different job, like having steel, because steel is a kind of a different, steel printing is a different thing. Either it can be a fusion type of a thing, welding type of thing, or it can be a laser based sintering of powdered material. So that's a totally different thing, but we are still thinking like how we can basically integrate or merge those two aspects together, or the steel printing or the metal printing could be a different domain altogether, but that is something which definitely would be quite interesting. Yes,
you might start printing in metal in the future. That could be really cool. Back to concrete for a second, or maybe some other materials like Adobe, geopolymers. Are there other materials that you think of or are considering? Hemp, maybe?
We actually are working on marine structures now, because we are also working on floatable structures. That is actually next on our list. Now we are actually working with various aggregates, lightweight aggregates as well, and incorporating those in our material, because when we are developing these structures in a prefab mode, so one critical problem or one thing which is having a financial implication is the transportation cost. And if we are able to reduce that by utilizing lightweight aggregates in a sustainable manner, so that is something which would be quite helpful. And mm-hmm. then for marine environment, we are also working on developing products which are actually going to be sustainable in marine environments as well, given the very harsh conditions that we have in marine areas. And that there is a lot of requirement across the marine, because a lot of population is living across the marine areas, and there are a lot of challenges that we have in offshore and onshore structures. So that is something which we feel would be our next target in terms of product range that we can create using this tech.
And would the intention of that project be to grow reef around it?
Not reef. As on today, we are more focused on products which are directly, I would say, involved with the human population, like products or projects which have kind of some direct usage for human or maybe jetties, ports, those kind of things that we are working on, not the reefs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is something which we would definitely wish our franchises would do when we will be creating those.
Yeah, other groups have done some reef projects, and it's interesting because all of the calcium, I believe, in the mix makes it very suitable for a reef to attach onto or something. And they've done some pretty cool, intricate curves so that the little fish can escape the big fish. And
I think Experience Highway did it.
Yeah, there's a couple different groups that are doing it. Your marine projects will be jetties and boat, not an actual boat, like a boat dock.
A dock primarily. So mm-hmm. jetties, embankments, those kind of floatable structures onshore, offshore as well. So that's something which we are now also working on.
Does it change the necessary parameters much? I know concrete tends to cure better underwater.
That's a different water altogether. It's a saline water, so the things are quite different there. Mm-hmm. So the mix has to be totally different in a marine environment where the salinity is quite high. The type of reinforcement that you use has to be considered very carefully. Like steel corrodes, like in a year you can see the steel rod being corroded completely. So that's a quite different environment, altogether. So that's a different product line definitely, which has to be very thoroughly studied and then developed.
One thing we didn't touch on that the last group printing from India mentioned is that the construction labor there can sometimes be unreliable. And so it's a huge benefit of 3D printed construction that you're not having to trust a construction crew to use the right size rebar, the right amount of rebar. There's been some like unpredictable building failures that could be eliminated with printing?
I would say at the end, when we are actually doing any project, any large project, so there are engineers, there are supervisors, site engineers who actually do a very thorough check when the reinforcement is put in, when the concrete is poured in. So I think a lot of things are done very cautiously. Like I have been into the construction field as well. So they, from a contractor's point of view, the contractors do a very thorough check. And then from the client side as well, the clients do a very thorough check. So generally, it's it's taken care of very seriously. And labor's shortage, I would say that is something which is there, but that's not a very big challenge as such, because we are able to mobilize the human resource here in India. And given regarding the quality, that is something which is of utmost importance, definitely. But there can be cases, I cannot deny those as well. But generally, 99% of the time, the construction has a like twofold checks, one from the contractor side, one from the client side as well. So issues that rebars are less or the concrete is of low quality should not be there generally in the construction. In that aspect, I don't think concrete printing, because already the quality is good there as well, because we have built like Burj Khalifa. So it's not like we have poor quality of construction. In India also, we have very tall structures. We have monumental structures in India as well. So there has been a very, I would say the contractors, the builders have been very thorough, have been very diligent in building the structures. And we have created a lot of good structures, but there can be issues, but that's, I would say hardly 1%, less than 1% the case.
That's good to hear. I asked because I wanted to get another perspective on it. I just heard that one guy, maybe that was just his own life experience. So it's good to hear that you had a different experience. But it's a, I was looking at it almost as a competitive advantage for 3D printed construction. So.
Actually, it has certain competitive advantage. So basically what we are saving on, if we look at 3D printed walls versus conventional walls. So we actually are saving on the formwork primarily if we are considering a concrete wall. If that's a brickwork, we are not saving on any formwork. But if it's a brickwork, it's going to have very high heat transmission. Whereas in printed concrete, we can have voids inside. So compared to a brick masonry wall, we can have very better insulation that's something which is useful. If it's a concrete wall, so in concrete also there are solutions available, like there are hollow core wall panels available, which are available to the market. But the challenge is that those are primarily rectilinear. So if somebody wants to build a rectilinear building, so he should better go with those hollow panels, hollow concrete panels, which are readily available in the market. The cost would be lesser. So it's better to go with that. But if somebody wants to have some specific design in mind, where you need those detailing and those are something which are functional requirement, then it makes more sense to go with this tech. So I think now client has a good option available with them that they can have, they can either go with the conventional if actually that fulfills their functional requirement, or they can go with the 3D printing tech if that is solving more of their purpose. One thing which I definitely see is that 3D printed buildings would have better energy efficiency definitely in the long term. So that is something which we feel is something which will definitely reduce the energy loading of the building. Plus, because the materials can be optimized in such a way that we use very less materials. So again, during construction phase as well, the carbon footprint of a building would be very reduced. So that way, definitely, it's something which is going to be something very sustainable in the coming years.
Yeah, definitely. There's some circumstances, especially when you introduce curves or anything like that, custom shapes would be very challenging to get a traditional builder to do.
Yeah, so, but for let's say a mass housing project, if you want to do mass housing at a cheap price, so better mm-hmm. to go with the hollow core wall panels if you can, because you have a solution available there. But if you want to do specific curves, specific things where the you need those detailing, so have a mix of those, have a mix of both. So I always say that it's better to use best of all the words instead of just putting something onto like just for the namesake.
Yeah, true. Is there a product that you have, like a smaller product that people, like tables, furniture, do you ever do stuff like that?
Actually, we started with furniture. When we started MyCorp, then we were not able to actually get in touch with defense because that is very kind of a closed market as such. But now things are changing. So we started our journey with creating a custom furniture, custom-made furniture, bespoke furniture. We sold a lot in Ahmedabad, Gandhinagar region and some in other cities of India as well. But then once we got in touch with defense and we saw that there is a serious pain that is there, a serious issue that needs to be resolved. So since then we have focused our entire energy into that segment to ensure that we are solving a critical problem that otherwise is something which is not being solved. So yes, definitely outdoor furniture is something, landscaping things are something which can be done through this mode, and we would definitely would be venturing into this, but not directly as on today, but through the franchisees that we want, because we have been asked by a lot of architects, a lot of other builders who are willing to create these things. So that's where we would develop a franchisee model where we would educate them, handhold them onto creating those things so that they can enter into that market and then create the space.
You mentioned in the short term you'll be setting up 3 workshops. Are those all franchise workshops?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
You mentioned you'd be setting up 3 workshops.
We will be setting 3 factories, another factory. So like we presently have one factory in Gandhinagar. That's around 45,000 square feet area for wow. our manufacturing. And now we are going to set up 3 such more units at other locations, strategic locations primarily, from where our inward raw material costing almost becomes zero. So anyways, otherwise you would have to bear the outward raw material cost. So that way the cost of production would further go down.
And those next factories, are they franchise factories or they're fully owned by Miko?
They will be owned by us.
Mm-hmm. So is the franchise option available right now for people?
We are structuring the model right now. So that's still in legal phase. So we are structuring that very diligently. So in next, I would say 1 or 2 months, we will be going with that.
Nice. That's pretty short. And what's the timeline on the factories?
Factories would be set up in 6 months down the line from today.
That's short too. Awesome. So you'll need a lot more printers.
Yeah.
How long does it take you from the time you intend to build it to get all the parts together, assemble it?
Generally, 2.5 months to 3 months max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been tough lately with shipping and all. People order a printer, it sometimes takes like a lot longer to get there because shipping's just been totally unpredictable the past couple of years.
True. But yeah, generally, it does not take more than a month in general.
Mm-hmm. Once you have everything together.
Sorry?
Once you have all the parts together.
Once we have all the parts together, it would take us a week to get it functioning. Yeah.
I guess you're assembling the extruder, the control booth, maybe making some changes to the mixer pump.
A few. Like, we have our software, which is kind of compatible with multiple robots, KUKA, ABB, also FANUC.
Nice.
So that way we are actually able to reduce the time frame as well. And then we have all the assemblies made for the extension or the, I would say, basically the extrude end part. So that way things are very standardized at MyCorp now, so that it's easier for us to start with the new machine.
Do you have a preference?
We're trying to create structure and standardization so that that's something which would be very helpful for our franchisees. So that is something which we are very focused on, to have standard operating procedures, have structures. So those are the things. Have a training module. So those are the things which will be very critical for the franchisees to be kind of profitable when they operate, when they start operating.
Yeah, that's very important. The machines you prefer, KUKA or ABB?
FANUC. Yeah,
what?
ABB, KUKA, FANUC.
Okay.
Yeah. So ABB KUKA definitely would be something which we would like to have. So right now we have FANUC robots with us. So we actually went with all the three and then went ahead with FANUC. And we will be having a few from KUKA and ABB as well shortly.
Is there, what makes the one you chose your preference?
We did a bit of comparative study when we bought the kind of robotic system. FANUC, I won't say much because that is something all three are good, definitely. So all mm-hmm. three, I would say, have almost similar specification. Sometimes it boils down to the cost as well, when the performance is similar.
Yeah, it makes sense. They all just move XYZ axis. They go where they're told. And as long as you're continuously flowing material through the hose, hopefully everything goes well. Do you have any kind of hopper at the extruder head?
No. It's simply pouring from the nozzle as I'm today.
That's nice because it's so much easier to clean.
Yeah.
The complicated screws and stuff, power washing the everything, adds another hour or two to the end of the day. It's tough.
True.
What's your cleaning process like?
It's quite simple. Basically, once the printing is done, we just have to kind of wash with water, and then you have to pass a specific sponge ball, which cleans the hose, and then you can just clean up the basically chamber of the pumping system where the water is mixing with the material. That's a very straightforward method. So somewhere around 20 minutes you take to clean up the entire system.
Cool. I saw you're hiring a CTO, CFO.
We have a CTO.
CFO.
Yes.
And what are you looking for in your CFO?
Basically now these are the things, because we are now moving into more commercial stages. Like now we are actually having bigger orders. So having a very thorough planning, having a very thorough cost control on the projects, that is something which is very important now. Similarly, we have to be very cautious about the models for franchising. So those are also some of the things that he has to or she has to be very diligent on. And then definitely how to ensure the working capital finance or other modes of finance That is something which needs to be taken in consideration. And we have to ensure that we remain profitable. So a lot of things are there which a good CFO can actually help us in cutting down the cost when we have a detailed kind of information available with us in a very right manner. So yes, that is something which is very critical.
So if that person is listening right now, or maybe somebody wants to be your customer or work with you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
They can drop an email to me. That's email is available at the website of MyCorp, definitely.
That'll be at the link in the description. And is there places you guys are on social media? Where should people follow you?
Yes, we are on Facebook, we are on LinkedIn, also on Instagram, and I think we are also going to be on Twitter as well shortly.
There's no TikTok in India, right?
I think it's banned in India. It was banned around a year back. Yeah.
Maybe smart. I don't know how good TikTok is for people, but yeah, it's great. It's surprising sometimes. Just a silly little video could get a lot of algorithm traffic on Instagram or Facebook or something, and you never know who might find out about 3D printed construction that way from you.
Actually, the response has been quite good. So we feel bad when we have to say no to somebody who is actually willing to do a project. So that's why we are not publicizing much. So we are actually, because we already have like a lot of orders with us, and we have a strategy to scale at a certain level as well to ensure that we still are able to control the expansion. Because if we expand too fast, so that is something which we have to be very cautious about as well. We should not be into, I would say, is let things go out of control. So that's something why we have been a bit, I would say, restricted in terms of very high publicity that we have been doing in the past. So yes, we are trying to slowly build our brand, ensure that we are creating products which are sustainable, which are creating value. And once the things are in place, once our all the things, structures are in place, and then like 2-3 months down the line when we are ready for franchising, then we will definitely take it on a grand level.
Yeah, that really gets me thinking. I mean, some groups have done so much focus on marketing, and they love to brag that they have a list of 5,000 people that want homes. And yet they've only built like one or two in the past 3 years. So what's the point of having a waiting list of 5,000?
Actually, that's I feel is a bad marketing. If we publicize too much and if we are not able to respond back, deliver to clients, it's something at the end which the client won't turn back. And he might say that, oh, MyCorp, they don't answer, they are not able to do it. So that's something which we have been very cautious about, that we have to take in plate only so much that we can eat comfortably.
Yeah, well, luckily this podcast doesn't get too many views. It's just a few dedicated people, so they won't flood your inbox, but they should be productive conversations.
Actually, I was quite excited to have the podcast with you, so that was the reason. I thought, yeah, definitely, it would be. I would love to discuss with you in detail what we are doing, and like we are trying to shortly then do the expansion. So definitely, I think it's the right time for us as well.
Yeah, thanks. I was excited for it too. I'm just trying to have a library because I see, like you see, construction's going to change, and so I want to capture the story of the people making the change.
Yeah, so I just love all your podcasts, definitely. So that has given me a lot of insights on how things are changing in 3D printing space and other construction tech as well. So that has been quite useful, and I'll definitely appreciate your efforts that you have put into actually bringing all the players that who are working on this field on this platform.
Yeah, thanks. I'll keep doing my thing. You keep doing your thing, and we'll add more chapters to this story.
Sure, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me today. It's the first of many podcasts we'll do together. And once you get those factories up, let's do another one.
Sure, Jared. Thank you.